Welcome to the brief news brief presented by the Life Given Radio. I almost said the Life Given podcast. So many changes, but I am your host, Samuel Isaac Lopez. This weekend, fellow Protestants and I will be celebrating the Reformation, and I plan to celebrate it really well. But before we get to the stories I have for you, I would like to couch them all by revisiting one of the outcomes of the Reformation. We obviously know the story of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses on the church door and what happened thereafter. But one of the outcomes of this action was the flow of information was not controlled by just one authority. Now, everyone was able to read their Bibles. With the advent of the printing press and the dissolution of the centralized power of the Catholic Church, we now had more information to our salvation in our very hands. Think of that major shift in power. Now, and this is where we're getting to our stories here, and before we go any further, the stories aren't all up to date. They're rather to serve as a reminder for a purpose, for a point in that I want to make during this show, during this episode. Now, we are starting to see centralized authorities over the flow and dissemination of important information. And the following stories are examples of that. So Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they all are controllers, really, middlemen for the information that we receive in our hands, on the phone in our hands. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you without a potential solution or a call to action. I'm not just going to say, bang the drum and talk about how dark and dreary this life is, because it's not. I think there's a lot of exciting things happening right now, but this is the reality of the world that we live in, okay? So these media giants that I just talked about, Facebook, Twitter, play the part of the Pope quite well. If we want to continue to push the Reformation analogy, Facebook and Twitter both went out of their ways to censor the New York Post's report of Hunter Biden. If you recall, we covered this story a couple weeks ago, and the New York Post Twitter account has still been locked out. Okay, they've still been locked out of Twitter, and that's now an ongoing situation for 2 weeks. I think the Jack Dorsey, the CEO and founder of Twitter, told Senator Cruz and that Twitter was no longer locking the New York Post account. I think that was a lie. It's still ongoing. So right after the story dropped on Facebook, so Twitter had their hand in it still. You know, they're still blocking the New York Post's actual account, right? It's not just that article they released about Hunter Biden, that story, that expose, whatever you want to call it. Facebook also joined in the fray, and they, as soon as the article hit their platform, within 2 hours or so, they had people within their company go in and shape the algorithm so that they would actually limit the distribution and the ability to distribute it on their platform. Twitter went to even greater lengths on top of that, and not only limited the ability for the post to be shared, to be spread, but anyone who shared the article in their private messaging system, their private direct messaging feature, was limited as well. So just, I want to pause here and consider, imagine the kind of power to be able to control the kind of information that is readily available to the eye when you pull up any platform. It's crazy. And an important caveat to all of this, I see you restless libertarian who listens to the show, and I'm grateful that you're here, is that these tech giants are their own private companies. So really, yes, they can make these calls. They can decide that they're locking out the New York Post, right? But this episode is not really a complaint over that, although it is, really. But this is really a call for people to wake up to the 90-degree slant that these companies operate on. So the New York Post wasn't the only one to get stung recently. Twitter claims that this next incident was an accident, but let's be real here. Their track record isn't working in their favor, so it probably wasn't. Like I said in Wednesday's show, I've suspended my disbelief long enough. The leash is short. The leash is short, and big tech is choking itself out with phony claims of being unbiased. The B. No one messes with the Babylon Bee. Unless, of course, your name is Twitter. Their account was accidentally, in air quotes, suspended in the past because, and this is Twitter's apology they wrote, we're writing to let you know that we've unsuspended your account directly to, this is a message email directly to Babylon Bee. We're sorry for the inconvenience and hope to see you back on Twitter soon. We have systems that find and remove multiple automated spam accounts in bulk, and yours was flagged as spam by mistake. Please note that may take an hour or so for your followers and following numbers to return to normal. Now, I think this followed a rather well-placed article that they shared. You can probably follow up to it. There will be a link in the description. We just discussed in the top story that Facebook will literally go into their algorithms to take away the ability for an article to spread. Twitter did basically the exact same thing, but just hit Babylon Bee right away. So we've covered Facebook and Twitter, and I want to give them a break for a second, right? We need to finish off the trifecta, YouTube. Yes, our beloved YouTube, so innocent in its beginning days, I remember it, but a year and a half ago, YouTube demonetized Louder with Crowder's channel once again on the grounds of hate speech. So if you don't know Louder with Crowder, he's a conservative comedian that hosts a conservative talk show. It's very entertaining. I would definitely recommend you listen to it because he has some invaluable points and he's also just a great rhetorician. But he apparently trespassed on the grounds of hate speech for YouTube. And they, quote, came to this decision because a pattern of egregious actions has harmed the broader community and is against our YouTube partner program policies after further investigation of Crowder's channel. So they changed Crowder's videos so that they were no longer eligible for ads through YouTube's AdSense network. So in short, they were demonetized. They weren't able to make up money. They weren't able to make money based off of the advertisements on that. And that also affected their recommended videos, right? What was truly recommended, some of their other videos was hidden. So once again, YouTube shifted their algorithm because they said that, he was messed up with his hate speech. But then YouTube did end up remonetizing Crowder because they couldn't find anything that actually called for violence against another person, as he was accused of by Carlos Maza. So another host on YouTube. Kind of spineless if you ask me, but this entire thing took a year. So you're telling me, so he only got remonetized a few months ago in the summer of 2020, but it took an entire year for this to be resolved. And you're telling me that YouTube, a global industry, tech giant, whatever you want to call it, they have hundreds of people working for them, and they can't go through however many videos are on Crowder's channel to verify this. So Steven Crowder acknowledged, and this is kind of wrapping this story up, acknowledged the real reason he was fighting for it was so that the smaller guy wouldn't have to, because Crowder was just one of the very first at the Vox Adpocalypse, which was a huge movement on YouTube that demonetized hundreds of channels. But he was fighting for it because A, he had the money and also a lawyer on retainer, so they could fight this, right? And this lawyer is wicked smart, right? a lot of great people work with that show, and the lawyer is no exception. I think that it was very interesting. And I think that we can be very grateful for Crowder's work there because, if you get demonetized, and we'll get to this in a second, as a smaller channel, it's tough to do anything but try to find another way to upload. So we've hit Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, YouTwitface, right? That's the trifecta. We've gotten it all. We're coming back to Facebook. Facebook, I know you thought we were going to leave you alone, but we're not. We're not done yet. So a year ago, they removed Graham Allen's video from Facebook, citing that he violated their community guidelines for hate speech. Now, if you haven't seen this video, who am I kidding? I'm just referencing this interview that he had on Fox News. But in this video, he called for all of the for every Christian to pray for Trump. You know, this is following on the heels of a pastor who Trump came and visited their church. The pastor stopped the service, asked if he could pray for the president. And people, when they heard this and saw this video and read these articles, just went berserk. It's like, how can you pray for the president? And Graham Allen, the former vet, went on Facebook and just made this video and said, hey, everyone should be praying for Trump. Even, you know, if he is the racist, if he is this misogynistic bigot, he deserves our prayer even more. You know, we need to focus more of our prayer on him. And apparently this got taken down by Facebook, citing their community guidelines for hate speech for this violation, this so-called violation. And it's just fascinating to me, because this idea of this ill-defined term of hate speech allows these global industries to just take videos down and to really control the dissemination of information and the kind of opinions that are shared at the table. This is, I mean, we talk about this on the show all the time. When I say that there's only one conversation allowed to happen at the table and really just one person talking at the rest of us, these are all examples. And I want to finish up and wrap up the show with my own personal experience. Yes, my humble YouTube channel apparently posed some threat to YouTube, the global giant, that they felt the need to remove one of my videos back in the middle of summer. Now, this was before I had gotten on to Apple Podcasts. This was before I was uploading Facebook Watch. So I was a bit more limited in my reach and in my in the spread of my opinion. And I shared in that video the video of the frontline doctors in DC, which itself had been scrubbed after accumulating 2 million views in the span of a couple hours. I found it on this like back channel and shared it, and we watched it in my actual video. And it got taken down like that. Granted, I wasn't smart about the way I did it. I uploaded it, put frontline doctors in the title, tagged it in the YouTube tags, had it in the description. So made it very easy for YouTube to go in and the algorithm to just wipe it off. So I think it was the algorithm, because I was able to re-upload it and just called it the Life-Given Podcast to whatever the episode number was. And I just put in the description, didn't put anything in the tags, put in the description, watch the video, and you'll find out what it is about, because I didn't want it to get taken down. And I thought it was important, and I believe it's still up, and it was for a while one of my most viewed YouTube videos. So thanks, YouTube, for bringing more people to watch it, because I shared the story of like, hey, this is kind of dumb. It's not really affecting my, I mean, because I'm not making any money off of this, but it's silly. It's ridiculous. So the list can go on and on of instance after instance. And with the impending election, whoever wins, I think this could easily get worse. I could see a situation where Biden is voted into office and these tech giants just feel like they have a new lease on life. They can do whatever they want and, you know, screw all the conservatives. Or if Trump wins, I think that we could see a ratcheting up of this, of trying to get one conversation at the table again, just continuing to push this. And so I think that feasibly it could get worse. And this is the point that I want to make, the simple message that I think it's time to start creating our own ways of communication, our own media sites, our own messaging system, our own platforms like Parler. So initially I was hesitant about joining their network, not really sure if it was just going to be an echo chamber for the conservative side, which I think it is, but I think it's created because the conservative voice is being locked out of all the other platforms that they just want somewhere to communicate with people. So I think it can be better than Parler. I think the platforms are just going to get better than what they are right now. But I'm honestly no longer worried because I am wholeheartedly convinced that we need to get the control of information out of the hands of social media giants and start creating on every available platform. Just in case, whatever might happen, we need to be pushing our message anywhere. Okay, so this podcast, for example, is on Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Over Podcasts, Facebook Watch, Radio Public, Podchaser. I mean, it's on any platform that you can imagine. And the other place you can find it is on the Life Given News website. And fun story about that, we're building our own website because we've got a couple really bright guys on the project that it'll be coming up early 2021. So that way we aren't reliant on Wix. So if Wix wanted to go in and terminate us, we aren't going to lose anything by it because we're already leaving. So that will host the podcast channel as well. And I'm sure we'll create an app down the road because that's what everyone's doing. So yeah, I would just encourage you to find ways of communicating. Thankfully you have your phone and text and stuff like that, but also, you know, we need to build our own social media platforms, and other people are welcome to join too. You know, it's not just the conservative voice, other people like libertarians, Democrats who are walking away from the party. You know, anyone on that liberal side is just getting sick and fed up with what's been going on. They're welcome to come join us too, right? Because we're welcoming every voice at the table. We aren't wanting it to be an echo chamber, which Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are slowly and actually quickly becoming. So let me know if you think that my tinfoil hat is too visible, let me know. Or maybe some of you think I should be purchasing a second one just in case. Also, let me know. Reach out to me on Instagram and Facebook or at thelifegivenreceived@gmail.com. Obviously, we are on those, but you can also find me on Parler at TLG Podcast. And I would encourage you to check out, maybe getting on that site. Also, I'm on LinkedIn, but still getting that account up and running. Remember that the life that you've been given and the life that you have received includes every area of life. This election cycle is no exception. God bless and have a wonderful Reformation weekend.